Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
It's time for us to get into our next segment. That's our Grow Model. And we do have our pastor on the line who's going to be navigating our way through with us. Pastor Lunga Machaya, good afternoon to you. Welcome. And thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon, brother. It is an honor and a privilege to be joining you this afternoon.
Thank you very much, sir. We're still in the book, The Great Hope, and today we're focusing on the Creator's signature. In a world of rebrands and blurred lines, and the Sabbath is God's original signature on creation. That's what we're told. The Sabbath is God's creation signature on creation. It's a divine reminder that we belong to someone who made us with intention, and that's why we're going to be talking a little bit more about the Sabbath, the signature of the Almighty, with Pastor Machaya. And one is, how does the Sabbath, how does Sabbath observance reinforce belief in God as a creator?
Thank you for the question. The Sabbath is a pivotal role within our Christian journey. And you see the importance of this in that when God speaks about the Sabbath, there are three instances. Number one, there is the Sabbath of creation that you find in the book of Genesis chapter 2. Then you find the Sabbath, which is the Sabbath of the covenant that you find in the book of Exodus chapter 20. Then you find that the same Sabbath is a reiterated within the book of Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 14, I can read, but 7 days is a Sabbath to the Lord your God, and it you shall do any work, neither you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your uncle or male servant, nor your ox nor your donkey, or any of your animals, or any foreigners residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. You would remember that it is not the first time God is speaking such words to the Israelites, nor is it the second time, but it is reiterated. In other words, it becomes a center of their Christian journey and of their worship and their relationship with God.
Okay, all right. So what significance does the seventh day hold compared to other days of the week?
Okay. When you go to the book of Exodus, firstly, when you go to the book of Genesis, let's start there, where God creates everything, chapter 2, then you go to verse 26. God created everything that is in the universe. But when he gets to the seventh day, what God does, number one, he blesses the day. Number two, he sanctifies the day. So it is made holy, it is set apart, and he rested. There are three things. Now, in all the other days, when God was creating, he said, it is perfect, it is perfect, it is perfect. And when he gets to the Sabbath, which is a day that is distinct from any other day, he makes it unique in that there are three things that you do not find in any of the other days. That is the sanctification, the resting, and making it holy. Number four, when he is resting, and making an appointment with humanity. Remember that in the from day one of creation, there is no time where God is resting. Now, one may ask, does God need to rest that he gets exhausted from his work? He does not need to rest. He doesn't need to rest because when you speak of tiredness, it is in human nature. Humans get tired, but God does not get tired. However, it's quite interesting that when we get to the Sabbath, God sets a day apart, not for him, but for humanity. So that is what makes it unique, because the God that we worship on the Sabbath, he's the one that had set it apart. He's the one that sanctified it. He's the one that rested. And he did so on behalf of humanity. Thank you.
Okay. So some have suggested that the Sabbath is some form of a countercultural practice in today's hustle. I'd love to hear your take. How, if you agree with that proposition, help us understand, how is the Sabbath a countercultural practice in today's hustle culture?
I would not accept such a proposition that Sabbath is a matter of a culture. There are two things. There is a principle, and there are things that are cultural, that are formed, or habits, or rituals, or observed, that are there, that are man-made. Now,
the proposition is not that it is cultural, but countercultural to the hustle culture. So there are people who live and breathe, and on every opportunity they are hustling. It is their culture to hustle. Those who are arguing for the Sabbath, they are saying, much against this hustle culture, the Sabbath tells you to stop hustling on that particular day, and you must simply do nothing. You must rest and worship. And as such, it goes against the Sabbath. People are suggesting that the Sabbath goes against the hustle culture. And so that's what I'm asking. Do you view it correct to say that the Sabbath goes against the hustle culture?
Okay. Oh, thank you. Oh, I get that now. Yes, I would say that. Remember, it's important to note that when God establishes the Sabbath, principle number one, if you remember, I said that God did not rest because he was tired. He rested in order for human benefit, in order that humanity can get time which they have for themselves, for the other, and for God. I touched on something that yesterday, and I said that with modern men today, we've become so consumed with material possessions, so much so that we do not have time for ourselves. We do not have time for the other. We hustle to an extent that we deprive ourselves of the benefit of rest. So then when God introduces the Sabbath to humanity, he says, you've got 6 days, because it's very explicit in the book of Exodus chapter 20. It's very explicit. You have 6 days. Those 6 days, you can hustle as much as you can. You can do and work and push yourself to every limit that you've got. But when it comes to the seventh day, God says, cease from work. Now it's time to take care of self. Now it's time to take care of the other. And one of the other principles that Sabbath teaches us, it is that we ought not to depend on self and material positions. Sabbath makes us to acknowledge that every possession that we have, it is a possession that we are able to acquire through the mercy and the blessings of God. Now, when the Sabbath comes and I rest and I stop hustling, it then says to me as an individual that I am not dependent on self, nor am I dependent on my own capacities and abilities, but I am dependent on the providence of God, because I am able to have the energy to work because God has bestowed such a blessing upon me. So Sabbath then says, stop hustling. Acknowledge God as the provider of all the blessings that you have. Because once you hustle and there is no rest, you start boasting about self. It is never about what God has done for you or on your behalf in order to be able to accomplish the things that you have. But when you are able to cease from the work, you are able then to reflect, to say that work can stop. And even though I cease from work, that does not mean that there will not be food on my table, because it is not I who provides, but it is God who provides. It is him who gives me the ability to do so. So another thing that is very important on what you've said. Remember, when God introduces the concept of the Sabbath in the book of Exodus, chapter 1, he says, he reminds them, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, who brought you out of the land of slavery. They were slaves. So when they were used, these people were used to work. They were used to hustle. So when God gives them a command and introduces the command of the Sabbath, it was something that was unique to them, because a slave was now given time to be free. Now, in the modern context today, we are slaves of material possessions. We are slaves of the positions that we want to acquire within our work. So God says that those things should not define you. Move back so that your identity is not in the things that you have, but you know who you are and you know your originator. Because when you know who you are, then you will also have a vision for self. But when you work and you do not break, have a break, you tend to forget even your identity and who you are. And you identify yourself with your material possessions. So God says that you must not leave your material possessions, your work must not define you. Get it out of the system once, reflect on the providence of God and the love of God, and then go back again. And it's very important to note that when we rest from our work on the Sabbath, we do not rest in order to gain energy to go and work again. That is the wrong mentality. When God gives us the Sabbath as a day of rest, it is a day of worship that we ought to enjoy. It is a time, if I may put it in the terms of saying, it is a jubilee for those who honor the Sabbath, because they get to forget about everything and anything else and just focus on worshiping God. So it, more than anything of having to rest in order for one to regain energy, it is you being cut away from being a slave of material positions. It is you having an identity in Christ, finding self in Christ, and not in the things that you possess. And therefore, the Sabbath, more than when people view it, they view it as a command that breaks us away from socializing, that breaks us away from working. No, God loves people who work, because even when he rested in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 2, after he'd done everything else and he rested, he said, "You shall toil, you shall work the ground for 6 days, but after that you rest." So even if today we rest, we are resting because we've worked. We are not resting because we didn't work. Number two, we are not resting in order to gain energy to go and work again. Thank you.
So why is the concept of a literal seven-day creation vital to understanding the Sabbath, Mfundisi?
Okay. Now, it's very important to when you look at the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, it says there, on the first day of every week, each of you shall set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income and saving it up, so that when I come, no collections may be made. Now, this was a teaching that was done in order for them to prepare for the Sabbath. Now, you asked a very good question. Where do we get Sabbath as the day of rest? Because people can say that, but there is no exact day that the Bible actually stipulates. Is that true? No, it's not true. I think we all agree that Jesus died. Jesus died on Friday. And in any Christian would agree with that Jesus cried on Friday. Now, the Bible is very explicit, because when you go there in the New Testament, you actually get to see that in the book of Mark, chapter 16, if people would read on their own, Mark chapter 16, Matthew chapter 28, Luke chapter 24, in the Gospel of John chapter 20, when you read those four Gospels, there you get a narrative of the woman who went to the grave of Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible says that they were going to the grave to embalm the body of Christ. However, they could not do so because the Sabbath was approaching. Now, you would agree with me that Jesus had died on Friday. So there is no dispute in all Christianity that Jesus died on Friday. And the Bible is very explicit there that the Sabbath was approaching. And that is the reason why the woman could not be able to go and embalm the body of Christ. So we actually get it there directly that indeed Sabbath is on Saturday. Now, there is an important item there because I say that Sabbath was approaching. What do I mean that it was on Friday? You would remember that during creation, the Bible says it was evening and it was morning, then it was the first day. So according to the Jewish calendar, a day commences when the sun goes down. So when the sun goes down, the day commences. So it does not go according to our calculations of time now, because to us at 12 midnight, that is when it is a separation of the previous day. However, according to the Jewish calendar, when the evening comes, when the sun goes down, Sabbath commences. And therefore, that is why the Bible says that when the women were going to the grave of Jesus Christ on Friday, they could not embalm his body because the Sabbath was approaching. Because according to the Jewish calendar and according to the biblical understanding, is that Sabbath commences on Friday evening until the next evening, that would be on Saturday.
So our final question, Mfundisi, is how can keeping the Sabbath restore our sense of purpose and belonging?
Thank you. I think that's a very good question. Why does God set a day apart from us to be able to spend with him? First of all, I think God foresaw. He foresaw that humanity would live in a world that is full of sin, full of temptation, a world of restlessness, a world of hustle. And in the midst of that, we will forget the purpose that we have on earth. So when we observe the Sabbath, it actually gives us, it takes us back to the origin. What is humanity ought to do? How are we supposed to love one another? How are we supposed to show love to one another? The Sabbath says, it is not about I, but I also have to think about others, because during the week, it is always about I have to make it work. I have to make it work. I have to build. I have to make money for myself. I have to provide. But Sabbath says that when I come into the bath, I must think of the other. What is the other one eating? What is the other one wearing? What is the other one doing whilst they in hospital? Who goes to visit them? So Sabbath says to us, it reminds us that we ought to be neighbors to one another. We ought to love one another. And if we actually apply the Sabbath principles within our daily lives, then the quality of our Christianity or discipleship would be one that God will be pleased with, because Sabbath teaches us discipleship. Sabbath takes us back to the origin. Sabbath gives us our identity and what is our purpose on earth.
All right. Mfundisi, thank you very much. We're going to leave it right there for today. Thank you very much for your time and your insights. Let's do it again tomorrow. Have a wonderful day further.
Likewise, take care.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.